run.
We're here in the studio with every gay in Australia.
Yeah.
There's like seven of us.
This is the Poofcast, and I feel like we are the super friends of gay.
I know.
We're like the gay Vengeance.
We are the gay Vengeance. I want to be the Scarlet Widow.
Oh, my gosh. I want to be the Purple Glory Hole.
I'm the amazing asshole.
Fabulous Adam Richard, outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan, available with Snelling.
Paul Rose from Golden Girls.
And joining us, the austere Mother Paul Horan.
Good evening.
Wow, such austerity.
I know. Oh, now, Normally we get you in for the Poofcast, the Poofstery.
Yes.
But you have been addressed in a letter to Dear Talking Poofy.
Oh.
So this is our letter. I said letter, Wiz.
The things that people used to write.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, share more stories from your dimly remembered youth,
come on,
Mother Horan.
We want to hear about vellum, papyrus. No, this is an electronic letter, an email.
Oh, on the computer phone.
Yes.
Oh.
It's from Adam, who's happy to be named, not Bevan. He says, "Hi, Poofsters. I have to thank you and Wes for the new Can of Wes segment."
Oh.
He's asking us about, we did an episode recently where Wes brought up the topic of gageism. And
right.
After giggling insanely about the
gageism.
We eventually started talking about aging and what do we do now? Because we are the largest group of living gay people at this age.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, it makes it sound like the Great Barrier Reef.
We are.
In so many ways.
Only we're a lot craggier.
But he said it struck a particular chord as my hubby of 15 years and I were returning from a weekend away on the coast in the Gulf with the dog. Yes, we're a gay middle class cliche.
Good on you guys.
And had spent some time over the weekend trying to figure out what's next. Neither of us has a thing to complain about with our lives, and we're both happy with our house, our jobs, our friends, etc. But at 41 and 42, have suddenly started to wonder where it's heading. What's left to look forward to? Is there a real challenge left? Do we even give a shit?
Important questions.
And then we drove off the road.
Film Run Louise style with the dog.
Yeah.
They say, you know, there's all that, you know, they've got a growing intolerance for kids because all the people their age have annoying children. And you go to resorts and things and there they are being annoying. But as Toby said, what are the options? Who are the role models if you don't want to end up in Victorian hospitality? And Adam did ask, I'd love you guys to revisit this, and maybe Mother Horan has some older role models with different life paths he could enlighten us with, basically saying we're a bunch of shallow fuckers and the intelligent one might have something more interesting.
I'm liking Adam more and more. He's got his finger on the pulse, let's face it.
And he drives the Golf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, you know, what is next for us? Like, we don't have children. We don't have, you know, that whole thing taking up our entire lives.
There's only so many times you can retile the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
is there, though?
And people who have kids, like, that goes on forever. Like, their kids end up in their 20s and their 30s and they have kids. And that's your life becomes all about the extended, you know, your family growing and changing. Whereas we're, you know, sitting around watching repeats of The Golden Girls.
I don't know. You know, within all of those statements are these kind of weird coded stuff that we've got to get rid of. Mm. For example, because you've got kids, it means that you've got meaning in your life.
Yes.
And that's bullshit.
That
because
is bullshit.
Because kids can be meaning or they can not be meaning.
They're not the only source of meaning.
Demeaning.
There are bad mothers and there are good fathers and there are whatever.
And kids can sell all your stuff, have cash converters to feed their little habits.
But it is that really odd thing with straight people of... I've got kids, therefore all the meaning sorted.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't need religion. I don't need everything. I've got kids. And look, that's actually quite valid and fucking good on them because, you know, it's an extraordinary thing.
It is extraordinary, but in the same way that Adam's saying, well, what next? What next? There's that same kind of brick wall with a lot of people when they have kids. It's like, well, I've had kids. I'm sorted. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. It's actually they're facing a similar
Just keep
thing.
Renovating the house.
Yeah.
You know, until the kids leave.
It's just distraction.
Usually at Christmas, I would go back to New Zealand and have a series of dinners with lawyers and accountants that I went to university with. And
wow, you make it sound so fun.
Oh, it is.
Instead of us hanging around with our cabaret friends.
Yeah. Increasingly. And this was a very, very common thing. I've done this for almost, 15, 20 years now. And increasingly, the eyes are on you, even though, you know, I've got a partner and all that kind of stuff. There's this kind of look they give you, kind of going, you know, Cherie's now at college and, you know, so-and-so's playing the violin.
And how's your cat?
And there is, but there's also that kind of, you know, there is the, from some you get the pity.
Yeah.
Mm. Kind of going, well, you don't have kids. You know, therefore, old and gay, we know what that means.
Yeah.
There's also the thing of kind of, I wish I had your life.
Mm. Yeah, right.
I wish I had your freedom. Although, you know, because even though you've got a partner and responsibilities, because you don't have children, you've got this freedom, this assumed freedom, which is also bullshit.
Yeah.
So it's a very weird thing. I didn't go back this year. I'm vaguely pleased I didn't.
Right.
Is this a reflection of what we've often noted here is that, you know, people write to us about, oh, I'm single and I wish I had a partner, and partnered people writing just saying, oh, I wish I was single again.
I want to get rid of this dead one.
Yeah.
The grass is always greener. That, you know, if you don't have kids, you think, oh, if I had kids, it would be a lot simpler. And if you do have kids, you just think, oh, I wish I could fuck off to see Mariah for a night.
I don't think it's just about the having kids thing, but I think that's like, you know, that's the general society we live in. Like that
society's built around having kids.
Yes. And there's a genetic imperative, you know,
but
all
it's
that
also
kind of thing.
Built around defaults.
Yeah.
Default, like, I have children, therefore I have meaning.
Yes,
I have a mortgage,
absolutely.
Therefore I have security.
Mm. Yeah.
I have a partner, therefore I am...
I get sex.
Therefore I must be monogamous. All of these things are totally defaults.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, the great thing about gay life is we don't have the defaults built in.
Mm.
We've got to say, well, I choose this, I choose that.
And we've got to make conscious decisions about everything.
And as you get older, being brave and making choices just gets harder and scarier. And that's the thing about these guys is that they've got all of these things around them, but making brave choices now as you get older
is scary.
Just as damn scary.
I think the other thing, this is something we touched on last time, is that because there was, you know, our community was decimated by the generation above us was wiped out. So we don't have anyone we can go... Oh,
that's what they did.
I might do what they're doing.
Yeah.
I might follow that path. Mm. Like the path to us seems to be, you know, making leather outfits at the back of the
running one up on your singer's thumb.
Opening a B&B.
Yeah.
In Wood End. But like there's no we don't have that, you know. Yeah.
But surely that's a strength.
That we get to forge our own path.
I would love all of these role models and all of those guys that I was at the very end of the whole epidemic when I was coming out as bright, young, and gay. I saw that. And I would love for all of those guys still to be here and for to have them as role models.
Mm.
But the fact that they're not here. That's not necessarily a great weakness.
No.
Because we can make it up.
Mm. Yes.
And that's cool. And no one else gets a chance to do that.
That's true.
That's why I think the energy going into gay marriage kind of bores me a lot.
Yeah.
Is because kind of going, once again, that's a default. I don't want a default in my life. I want to say I choose.
That's one of those things. It's just like you go, well, I keep saying to people, it's like, well, as soon as there's gay marriage, we've got nothing left to argue about.
Well, yeah.
We're done.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've got nothing.
And traditionally, we have been a kind of reactionary sort of community. Yeah. And so if we've got nothing to fight against.
We're not terribly proactive.
No, if we've got nothing to fight against, then what do?
What are we going to do?
Well, we just have to fake each other and take them all.
I would, you know what we're very good at is designing GPS programs to find each other.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But you know, right?
Oh, if we could channel that.
We could use those powers for good and not evil.
But I would say to Adam, who's written the letter, that there's nothing wrong with living happily ever after.
No. Yeah.
Like, you know, you say that you've got everything that you want and you've got everything you need. Like, there's nothing wrong with just going, well, I'm actually really happy.
I have found with myself, now that, you know, I'm about to next week be 29 again. The thing that I've loved more than anything at the moment is mentoring. Is like,
yes,
and but that's like a career thing. Like that's, you know, talking to young comedians and helping them with just things that, you know, basic stagecraft shit that no one tells you until you fuck it up.
Yeah.
And just, you know, kind of doing that kind of stuff. I've really enjoyed doing that, and maybe that's something. I think that's something that we have time for that people with children. They do not have time to mentor.
I've actually found the same thing with directing and teaching.
Yeah.
Passing
it's really enriching.
It kind of
feels...
Well, it's also... it's good to celebrate knowing what you know.
Yeah.
You kind of go, I'm 47. It's 46. I'm 46.
29! Oh.
29. We don't say the four word in here.
We don't say the four
29.
Word.
29. Sorry, people.
My age is the answer to the life and the universe and everything.
But you're making
really,
great point,
I really
people.
Like knowing what I know.
Yeah.
And it's good to celebrate
It's good to remind yourself as well, because in the kind of the areas that we work in, we don't have, you know, it's not like we're working in accounting firms where you kind of get a raise and you get a promotion, you get blah, blah, blah. You work your way up the corporate ladder. Mm. We all kind of vaguely work sort of in the arts. Sort of. And you don't get those kind of markers. But when you have to actually mentor or teach or direct or anything like that, you kind of go, oh, actually, I do know something.
I do know heaps of stuff.
And it's good to remind yourself that, you know, I've got
and
to
you know
the
what?
Age of 40 and I've picked up a couple of things.
No one but poofters are better at being smartass.
Absolutely. We are good at telling other people what to do.
But in general, Paul, you make a very elegant point that you have a responsibility to keep yourself interested and interesting.
Yeah.
And that if you've got kids, that can kind of, that decision is made for you. And if you don't, then you've got to, Adam and his boyfriend driving back from Ocean Grove or, you know, wherever the hell they were, you can't be interested in nothing. There must be something that interests you.
Yeah.
Embrace the fact you've got the latitude to pursue that.
Yes.
And as you say, make a difficult choice.
Go back to uni. Do whatever you want
to
do.
But also to
do volunteer
write
work.
Your rural romance novel that you've always wanted to do.
We're all halfway through ours. Yes.
One of the great bourgeois cliches, if you want to indulge in, you know, in your golf and your dog and all those sort of cliches, one of the other great cliches is doing, you know, doing something fucked when you're 50 and, you know.
Yes.
Moving to Tuscany for a year or whatever it was because you've got the resources and the time.
When you're 50.
But it is, you know, you've got the latitude to do it and you should be bold and brave enough to do it, to take a flyer while you can.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of volunteering that you can do. There's a whole bunch
of... Yeah, good point,
You know, there's hobbies, there's all sorts of stuff that you
I've
can...
I've been volunteering lately.
What have you been volunteering
at? I volunteer at Vision Australia and I narrate audiobooks for blind people.
Oh, my God!
How cool.
I know, it's fantastic.
So do you read them, or is it showreel more than volunteering?
Yeah, pretty much. No, it actually came about because...
Thank you, Wes.
Because...
Thank
you. No, because I do so much corporate whoring, I do so many voiceovers.
Yeah.
Air Force. Accomplished.
Hang on, that was a tweet from Cher.
Hang on a minute. But I kind of went, well, I just feel like I'm this corporate whore all the time selling things to people that I don't really need.
Yeah.
How do I kind of address that balance and use my powers for good? I'll go and read for Blind Ear McBlindies, which is what they actually... Ask you
blindies.
To call them. Yeah, Blindy McBlindies.
Blindy McBlindies.
things like that are really good.
Yeah. So. I think it's also to having hung out with these friends who are always talking about how they lose contact because of children and things like that. They lose contact with all their other friends. And that's the things that as gays and gay couples, you can do is actually stay in contact with your own people a lot better.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'm a shocker for saying, oh, come around for dinner and not.
Yeah. I have been round for dinner, though.
You all have.
Yes.
Probably. but also, that's another thing you can do is, you know, we've got the ability to actually really interweave our groups of friends much better.
And also, if we're friends with other gay couples or other gay people in the same stage of their lives, that you can actually create a community and, you know, still actually have that active and rather than all just hiding at home with your little kitties.
Also, do you get to choose your friends a little bit? This is a theory, an unformed theory, but you do get to choose your friends a lot more when you're a gay single person or a couple, because my sister is always talking about, there's a really rude term, which I won't even say, for the parents that she's forced to deal with.
Oh, the in-laws.
Yes.
Yeah, well, just all of those school mums.
Kinder mums. Oh, those
things.
And she said, you don't choose these people because your children choose them.
Yes.
And often you find you're exposed to all these random new great people, but she says the bulk of them are actual bastards.
Right.
And because Jane's single mum, all of a sudden you're forced, and there's a lot of kind of, oh, you're single.
Oh,
and so all of a sudden she's forced to kind of deal with all of these people. And it's really fascinating. And I kind of thought to myself, I don't have to do that.
No.
Yeah. It's cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Know, you might bump into some people at the park when you're walking the dog, but
Yeah.
You don't form friendships with the people that pick up poo in front of you.
When you're getting your schnauzers groomed, you can meet some fascinating new gay couples who look exactly like you.
Yes.
Bevan and Bevan, shout out to you.
But there is a particular type of hatred that you have for like a mother obsessed with their child.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there is nothing worse than that fucking...
Have you unfriended them, the Facebook ones, that just...
Yes.
It's a torrent of photos of children.
Yes.
Yeah. And I wonder sometimes, oh, is that me hating on it because I don't have any kids? And it's like, no, I had a kid for 6 years.
Yeah.
My Caleb is gifted.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And even, like, oh, prams in cafes. Oh, my God. Oh, how fucking gay first world am I?
Just, prams
in cafes shit me. Oh, my God.
I cannot get a latte without the screaming of a baby.
Oh, my God. And those mothers with prams who walk down the street expecting you to get out of the fucking way and not even move. And, I'm climbing over a cactus to get, while they get past or something. I'm on a fucking rant. I'm just, oh, God.
It's also the Chinaman Square.
The fucking prams are coming at you.
I'm climbing over a cactus.
I'm not moving. I'm climbing over a cactus so you can get fucking past with your ugly
baby. Are you buying your coffee, North Dakota?
Albuquerque.
There's also that look that a bedraggled mum does have.
Yes.
And the valid one, you think, boy, you've had a hard day. Mm. But then there's the, I'm going to push it 10% extra for a bit of extra sympathy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that kind of oh thing. Oh. And you just kind of go, lady,
wow.
Yeah, I want to slap you now.
If that's
yeah.
what you choose to use your vagina for, then that's your problem.
Yeah.
Well, so you know what? Shut the fuck up. You know, it's not like 1850 and it was a Victorian woman who had to like do all the laundry by hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And beat it with
coal.
Stones and eat coal and you had fucking 10 of them.
She's probably got a cleaning lady.
Yeah.
You are a 37-year-old lawyer called Margaret who has given birth to a child named after a spice.
Yeah. whose car is bigger than any house I've ever lived in.
Yeah. And she probably lives in a city in a converted old worker's cottage where 60 years beforehand, someone hand-reared 10 children.
That's right.
On a dirt floor.
On a dirt floor, eating lumps of coal.
So the fact that
now she's living in the same house now going, oh, my life.
Oh,
and the fact that you can't carry a 5-kilogram pack of organic quinoa from Piedmontese to your SUV is of no fucking concern to me. And my one wish is that I live long enough to drive the bus that runs you over.
They should have handles on those bags.
Oh, yes.
But they're just the package.
Oh, my God. Mm.
Well, I think we've...
Oh, wow. So I guess what we're saying, Adam, in response to the letter is count yourself fucking lucky.
Yeah,
Jesus.
But yeah, I say, you know, you've got a lot, you've got shitloads of time on your hand. Do whatever you want with it. Yeah.
Start an organic quinoa farm.
Yeah. Make one of the rooms in your house a knitting room or something. Or a sling room. Or both. A knitted sling room.
A knitted sling room. Yes. That would be lovely.
Oh, yes. Let's all get together and knit slings for the soldiers.
Oh. Yarn bombing be damned.
Oh my God, my eyes hurt.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog too.
Talk goofy to me. Oh my God, I'm loving that we've resurrected this segment.
Oh,
the old ways are the best.
With the paddles.
Yes.
Clear, it's time for the Talking Poofy update.
Whoa, never gets old.
Talking Poofy news on the hour.
More strife for the new iPhone operating system following the recent Apple Maps debacle, in which the new phones gave wildly inaccurate location information to users. This time, it's Grindr users who are grumpy, complaining that the app is now too accurate and is insisting on reporting their actual ages.
And speaking of Grindr, it's time to announce this week's Gay Lotto results. And the draw is as follows. Twink, twink, drag queen, cabin crew, has a girlfriend, ex, and the supplementary is Trevor Ashley.
And finally, get ready for this. This is an item from the actual news.
Ooh, real news.
This is true. The Herald Sun of December 29 reports that customers and staff were terrorised by masked bandits at Broadmeadows Supray. As men stormed the store shortly before closing time.
It wouldn't be hard to scare them, though, would it?
Very exciting, however, because Talking Poofy Investigations is able to bring you...
Hang on, we have Talking Poofy Investigations now?
Yeah. Wow. Headed up by Remington Steel.
Great.
Remington Steel.
Remington Steel from Talking Poofy Investigations.
It's part of the Ponds Institute.
But we have been able to secure an exclusive recording of those thieves preparing for the heist in the getaway car in transit to the actual robbery.
Wow.
So, Adam, here it is, the unreleased gangster recordings of the great Broadmeadows Supray robbery.
Okay, girls, everyone listening? Spider, Lefty, Big L, Mr. Pink. Everyone paying attention? Good. Now everyone put your stockings on. Oh, Lefty on your head. It's a disguise, not a support garment. Honestly, I don't know why you're so obsessed with your gams. They're perfectly fine. I'm telling you, while you've got Cop Killer prison tattooed on your neck, no one's worrying about your bow fucking legs, girl. You should be robbing a cosmetic surgeon. Right, we're nearly there. So let's run over the plan again. Spider, you go in first. Take the staff in the back room and hold them there while we get the loot.
Oh, Spider, can you make sure you do your whole butch shouting thing?
Anyone else want to be a fucking hero? I'll shoot you right in the fucking face. Oh, what am I like?
Oh, I pissed myself a bit then.
Sluts, pay some attention. Spider, you take the staff in the back and then we'll all get the loot. Remember, Al, we're looking for cash from the till, any valuables and anything in light summer fabrics with citrus tones, especially deep V-necks. I'm a 16, but fuck it, get a 14. I need the motivation to do it. And Mr. Pink, have you still got your heart set on that swing tote?
Mm-hmm, fucker.
Okay, one of those as well, Spider. Got it?
Oh, I just realised something.
What, you dizzy outlaw?
Once we've got the loot, we'll be getting away with the swag. With our usual swag.
I should have joined the common cheer, right?
Right, girls, here we are. Killing time!
Podcast on review. With Lorna. And Lorna.
But let's round up the review with I Got Fucked by a Big Black Dick 10.
Yes. Yes, I did. I quite like this one.
I quietly, because I thought it might be...
open a window. Oh, somebody open a window. Oh, it's so stuffy in here.
No, I was excited. I was excited by this one.
Have you got the aircon on, Lorna?
Oh, it's okay. Like, you're
have
right.
you turned the
oh, you're having
on?
A flush, love. You're having a flush. Oh, good God.
Someone's left the oven running.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Oh, God, the scones.
I can't stand
the scones
it.
Are still on.
Somebody open a window.
Oh, God.
Oh, there's modern buildings. Can you open a window in here? There's modern buildings. You can't open windows.
Oh, darling.
And the lifts Sweet. Don't have proper numbers on them. And all the clocks are electric. Why can't they do anything the old ways? All I want is to open a window. Is that so wrong? I know it's old-fashioned. I just want... All I want to do is open a window and talk about I got fucked by a big black dick.
Oh, God. Oh, okay, Zal, you're back on track now? Is that okay? You all right?
It's the change, Lorna.
Oh, it is the change. Oh. Oh, just, no, just
it's
have...
It's got me running ragged.
Have another cube of cheese and gherkin. It'll settle you down.
Oh, the doctor's given me pills, but sometimes really? I just want a strong sherry and some gherkin.
Oh, fair enough, too.
As do we all. Yeah, so.
But I was quite excited by I got fucked by a big black dick.
Oh, tent. Really?
Because, you know, I love a period drama. And so... I was quite excited by this.
Well, so was I, but I must remark Helena Bonham Carter's put on weight.
Oh, yes.
And grown a big black dick.
Yes. Well, I always thought she was underused by Tim Burton. On it, I did. You know, if you're blessed with that kind of appendage, you know, we should have seen that in The Headless Horseman or something. Honestly,
she wasn't credited.
No, she wasn't.
The listed performers are J.D. Daniels, T.J. Gold, and Hole Hunter.
I know that's Spanish. I think it's Hole.
Hole. Yes. Hole Hunter.
Hole Hunter. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. And Kyle Hallowell, who was in the Spice Girls, I think.
That's true.
Yes,
that's true.
Was, yes.
So it's quite a star-studded number.
It was. Kyle's... And there were a few studs.
There were a few studs.
I'm talking about the metallic kind. I should get my bedazzler out again, actually.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I don't think I'd want to try what some of those chaps had, though. I think that'd hurt.
Oh, they were just showing off,
they
Lorna.
They were just showing off.
They were just attention seekers.
But
you
honestly,
know?
That was a big black dick, wasn't it?
It really was.
I don't know how he keeps the blood in his head while he's... I didn't think there was that much in a human body.
Look, Kyle seemed to really enjoy holding onto that elevator door and seemed to be enjoying every thrust.
He really did, didn't he? The way his eyes were bulging. Mm. It was like when my cat brings up a furball. Honestly.
Oh, Lorna, I'm exhausted. I'm going to have a lie down and masturbate furiously.
Yes, I might go home and Les is having a nap, so I might just grab his hand and have a crack at myself.
Well, that was the Poofcast. Thank you, Mother Horan, for helping us with our letter.
Look, a pleasure.
And developing ourselves.
You're my idol. Like, you're my idol now.
Yeah.
Got one.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a song.
Oh.
Shine bright, like a diamond.
I do love that Mother Horan's answer to everything is, oh, fuck it, what's wrong with you?
Amen. Amen, Vicar.
Stop whinging.
This is the most excellent episode of Nanny and the Professor ever.
We'll be back next time on the Poofcast.
Talk to me. Talk to me.
underbelly gayness, the untold, seedy story of the gay gangland feud that had the nation totally indifferent. It's the story of Australia's most tedious ass bandit bandits. Summer, 1994. It was Melrose Place night at notorious Melbourne gangster hangout Wrongens. Jake the Poof was drinking with his henchmen when he noticed a rival, Slim Crim, across the bar. Joel Sloppy Romingi, and decided to settle a score.
Joel, darling, air kisses, mwah, mwah. Love those baggy 501s and that Stussy t-shirt. Have you lost just the tiniest little bit of weight, like off your face mainly?
Oh, God, no. I haven't had a minute to myself to cook properly. Now I'm dealing ketamine on the north side. Mm. Making a fortune, but no time for housekeeping. Sometimes I envy you, Jake, all the spare time you must have. Who's your Twinkie friend over there?
Ugh, name's Adam. Won't shut up. Thinks he's some sort of comedian or something. Now, Joel, mm-hmm. down the north side.
Yes.
You know I've been dealing that territory for years.
Oh.
It's my territory, Joel.
Honey, you need to embrace change.
Who do you think you are? I was pimping drag queens for Risties when you were still going to Bros concerts last year. We have an agreement. I run the north side with Ecstasies, Rent Boys, and a mid-priced chain of hair salons. And you run the south side with Special K, Pickpockets at Pokies, and bootleg porn tapes of Alexis Arquette. You greedy slut.
Ah! At least when I'm being a slut, I don't prolapse in the back seat of my cousin's taxi.
One time! Once! And he paid me $12.
My therapist said I need to validate myself and not let older male authority figures intimidate me anymore. Okay, I'm taking over the north side and there's nothing you can do about it. Why won't you ever support me?
Thirsty bitch.
Crusty fuckstain.
Right, that's it!
Oh my God, he shot him right in the asshole.
Oh, the rudeness.
When Jake the Poof shot Joel Sloppy Romingi right in the asshole that night, it set off a chain of events no one could have seen coming or cared about. It would set twink against twink, queen against queen, Molly against Richard Wilkins, and one person would come through it all on top.
Talk poofy to me.